And it is time to kick your feet up. This is the first day of spring, the vernal equinox. And I saw that smile, Bratton. You know what that means, don't you? Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks as always for having me, Paul.
You still got that book behind you. By the way, I may have a new one coming out. Not yet, but maybe in a couple of months.
Well, I bet I can find it at the dollar bin here.
Not yet. And I've learned the lesson of that book right there. This book, and I consider you one of my close friends, and I hope you'll have me on your podcast. We've figured out a way to make we're charging people to buy the book. So it will come out probably this time next year. So next time I see you, could you slip me 25 or 30 bucks, and we'll make sure we get it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And perhaps we will give you a free sponsorship. Maybe we can sell a few copies for you.
Yeah, I mean, because I've learned a lot from, I mean, that book was a New York Times bestseller, Michael, but I've learned a lot since then about how to really, really schlep a book to all. I mean, I'm already booking podcasts. I'm on the Cousin Shane Food Channel podcast. Hey, so what's going on with Cousin Shane?
He's doing well. He just came up here to Nashville, so it's always an adventure when we get him out of his holler up there in Tennessee. So he came up for the SEC basketball tournament. We were able to interview a bunch of people, and I think more important for him, Paul, was getting to eat at all these restaurants that he didn't even know existed. So he had a good time, and he got his fill, to be sure.
Yeah, I hated to miss that because was it 2 years ago that we had the roast of Cousin Shane over there on Music Row?
It was, yeah. For anybody that wants to go witness Paul make fun of a severely obese man for an hour, we have video evidence of it, and we have not invited you back on the program since.
And Michael, I want you to know I have considered apologizing to him in the last 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure you have, Paul, but it may be a little too late for old Cousin Shane. He's still got some hurt feelings there.
Okay, so we all know big basketball day, and I'm fine. I'm watching the games. I know you are. But we have a lot of football fans out there, so why don't we talk a little bit about some thoughts on spring and next fall. And I want to start with Lane Kiffin.
Oh, excuse me. I think you said his name wrong. It's Lane Quinton. Around here after he quit on Ole Miss last season in just a debacle of an ending there. It's always a debacle of an ending with Lane Quinton. And quite frankly, Paul, I think it's going to be a debacle this season because before I was calling him Lane Quinton, I was calling him Lane Whiffin because he usually whiffed on a game or two. I know a lot of people are enamored with LSU this offseason. They're expecting them to make a run to the college football playoff, but I'm here to tell you, Paul, LSU – will not be making the college football playoff this year. I think they're going to be one of the biggest disappointments in the country next season.
Ooh, I usually wait till July 1st for my hot take. So you're obviously not waiting till even April 1st, are you?
No, if you need lessons in how to work this game, Paul, you got to get ahead of it now these days more than ever. It used to be SEC media days. I'm sure you could unveil all this stuff, but we basically got to start in January if we want to get people talking.
So what is your biggest concern about LSU other than Lane Kiffin being the head coach?
Well, just the fact that they've completely assembled a new offense, which, again, Lane Kiffin is I kid, he's a very good football coach, known for his ability to coach up a quarterback and have a good running game. But LSU is going to have a completely retooled offensive line. Every receiver will be new quarterback. I just don't know if you could throw all that together and have a really dynamic season right out the gate. But when you got a $40, $45 million roster, that's the expectations. And let's not forget, Paul, Clemson in the opener. Now they should beat them. But, again, Lane whiffing. He whiffs every now and again. You got at Ole Miss. You got A&M. Those are the three of the first four games, Paul. I think there's an outstanding chance LSU loses two of those, and they're facing elimination the rest of the way.
Talking to Michael Bratton here on this Friday afternoon. So staying, you mentioned Ole Miss. I'll go through a number of the contenders. Do you buy Ole Miss as a contender a year after Lane, whatever his last name is, went to LSU?
Well, since Lane quit and left, I've loved what I've seen from Cheat Golding. That's what we call him. If we listen to Dabo around here. But I think Cheat Golding, I think he's got what it takes, Paul, to run a football program. So Yeah, I mean, I think he'll cut every corner, and he's a perfect fit for Oxford. So, yeah, I think Ole Miss, they got the best quarterback in the SEC. I don't know if I would guarantee you that they're going to make the playoff, but I don't think there's a huge step back in Oxford this fall. So I think Ole Miss will be right there, but I would have them just on the outside looking into the college football playoff.
Okay, let me head to the state of Texas for a minute. Two contenders there, A&M, last year went. This year expected to be a contender, and Texas last year didn't go. This year always expected to be good. How do you break down that state?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Paul, because Texas was the other one I wanted to tell you about. That, again, expectations are high. Arch Manning, everybody in the country knows how you feel about that guy, Paul, and it's no slight on Arch Manning. I think he is quite good, but I don't think his head coach is. So given the fact that Texas has regressed year after year after year with elite quarterbacks, allegedly, I think that the blame needs to go to Steve Sarkisian. And instead of correcting the problem, Paul, what'd they do? They replaced their defensive coordinator when the defense wasn't the problem. And for some reason, everybody's enamored with Will Muschamp, who last I checked has not called a defense by himself in this conference or anywhere for that matter since 2015, back when Auburn went 7-6. So I don't understand how landing Will Muschamp is some coup that should be celebrated. And oh, by the way, they added Mark Stoops. So I think the real question, Paul, is when they fire Steve Sarkisian in the middle of the year, who's going to be the interim coach, Will Muschamp or Mark Stoops? And I don't see a quality option on the board.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've been praising Will Muschamp around here. I forgot about Stoops. I'm just trying to think. It's not Texas's problem, but for what Will Muschamp made in his two firings at South Carolina and Florida, and you add that to Mark Stoops, what, $35 million buyout, they're going to have some pretty good poker games out there.
Yeah, and maybe that was part of the calculus, Paul, by Sarkisian, to say, hey, if I surround myself with these dullards, that maybe they won't fire me because we don't want to put the program in the hands of a Muschamp or Stoops, so you can't fire me. Maybe that was part of the calculus. I don't know. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a disaster for Texas. I think they're going to miss the college football playoff for the second year in a row.
Michael Bratton with us. Michael, I feel compelled to ask you about what you said. I can't believe I'm asking these questions so seriously, about Steve Sarkisian. I am under the impression that he's an elite coach. I need you to explain why you don't think he is.
Well, because the offensive efficiency and scoring has regressed 3 years in a row with Quinn Ewers, who allegedly, according to the recruiting analyst, was, I believe, a perfect prospect. I don't think there's been a higher-graded quarterback in the recruiting rankings history. And then there's not been a bigger name, of course, than Arch Manning. And I'd say by the end of the season, he's lived up to the hype, but he largely didn't last fall. So how do you go from these two elite quarterbacks to produce lesser results week in, week out for 3 years in a row? I'm starting to wonder how elite Steve Sarkisian is, which again, they've been a defensive program the last couple of years. And Sarkisian's decision to correct Texas woes was to fire the defensive coordinator and bring in someone that hasn't called a defense in over 10 years by himself. So I don't know. You tell me, Paul. Maybe I'm not as smart as Steve Sarkisian, but that doesn't make any sense to me.
Michael, let me ask you about Oklahoma, and then we'll stop for a moment after that. I know you've been high on that program. They got to the playoffs last year, immediately coughed up a game in Norman. Where are the Sooners with John Mateer coming back?
Yeah, I would have Oklahoma as one of the teams in the SEC that will make the college football playoff for back-to-back years, which would be quite the coup for Brent Venables. I think we're really going to start to see the effect of the GM, Jim Nagy, that they hired. And this will be year two of him helping to put the roster together. Defense was obviously dominant last year. That offense has got to take a big step up. But based on what everyone's saying out of spring in Norman, I think the anticipation is that'll be there. John Mateer will have a lot more weapons around him. I'm still very high on what John Mateer is as a quarterback. He was largely inconsistent. But again, I think they were just asking too much of him. I don't think he had a lot of help. He certainly didn't have a running game. If they have any semblance of a running game next season, Paul, I think Oklahoma's going to be very good once again.
Michael Bratton with us on a Friday afternoon. We rarely have time to take a break, but we will. Michael, don't go anywhere. Tell Cousin Shane to head out to the Burger King and get out of our way. We'll be back with more right after this. Special bonus edition of Fridays with Michael Bratton. We've done a few of that during the football season. And Michael, we've talked about a number of different schools so far. Let me throw just a few rapid fire at you and let us know where they are. Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz, where are they right now?
Well, I love the fact, Paul, that they've already gone ahead and named Austin Simmons their starting quarterback. I think that's really good news for Tiger fans. And this is two programs in a row that have been enamored with Austin Simmons going back to last season in Oxford. If he lives up to the hype, I truly think Missouri can have one of the best offenses in the SEC next fall.
Okay, Florida, new coach, new attitude, same results, or is this a new era at Florida?
Oh, man, well, this may be the biggest coaching upgrade, not in the SEC, Paul, but perhaps in the country. So I think Florida, there's an excellent chance that they're in the playoff conversation come November. So I think they're going to have a heck of a year, maybe 9 or 10 wins.
Whoa, that is a major upgrade. And Sunbelt Billy moves on. I think he's at Liberty. Are you going to be knocking them all year like you were when he was at Florida?
I mean, I probably will.
Excuse
Paul,
me, JMU. JMU. I didn't mean to insult Liberty. JMU is a playoff team.
Well, not anymore. Not that they've hired Billy Napier, but I think JMU, that's the perfect school for old Sunbelt Billy.
South Carolina, a year ago, talking about the playoff. Now talking about Shane Beamer's future.
Well, according to Beamer, they're going to be a playoff team as well. I don't quite see that, but we got to hand it to him for bringing back the talent that he did. I do like the offensive coordinator, Kendall Browse, bringing him back to the conference. Should be a lot better on that side of the football, but I think it's going to be very difficult to get back to 8 wins, which I think that's what it's going to take to bring Shane Beamer back for another season.
I know you're impressed with Alex Gohlers at Auburn. What about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, last time I checked, Paul, he doesn't even know his golf handicap. So, I mean, already massive, massive improvement over the last fool that we had running that program. I think Byron Brown is going to come in and solve Auburn's quarterback woes. This is another team, Paul, that I'll tell you what, if they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa, I think there's an outstanding chance Auburn goes to the college football playoff. Now, again, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but if they do, I think Auburn, 8-9 wins this year with Golish.
Now that's a big statement you've made there, because I mean, even upbeat Auburn fans are not going that far. What do you see? Is it Brown? Is it just the whole system coming over, or is it that golf pro having departed?
Well, just not being pathetic on offense would be a great start, wouldn't it, Paul? Because we had defense figures out under DJ Durkin, and now that we have potentially should have a competent offense with Brown, with Golish, yeah, I think it makes Auburn a significantly dangerous team. And I've heard some of their fans say, hey, we just want a winning season. I think they should be expecting a heck of a lot more than that on the Plains this fall. Give me at least 8 wins for Auburn this year.
That's a big upgrade. Okay. Vanderbilt had the season of its life last year, and Indiana got all the credit. What about this year?
Well, I hope they bought the T-shirts last fall, Paul, because, I don't think we're ever going to see that probably in our lifetime down in Nashville. And I'm a native here, but I think that was a one-off. Shout out Diego Pavia. I know he's not necessarily a popular guy with a lot of people, but he was a heck of a quarterback. And I would be surprised if they win 6 games this year.
Arkansas and Kentucky, I ask you that question together just to save time.
Well, they're good at basketball, Paul. I mean, we'll put it right there. I mean, either one of these. I asked on my show the other day, Paul, is Arkansas going to have more wins or a higher GPA? Listening to the new coach, I think the GPA is going to be a little bit higher.
So, okay, I'm going to slow down the rapid fire for a minute, because you know I've asked you about, I think, every school but two. And those are the two most special. We got Alabama, but before Alabama, tell us about Tennessee with no Joey Aguilar.
Well, this time last year, Paul, I didn't even know who Joey Aguilar was, and Josh Heupel and company turned him into the number one passer in the SEC regular season. So I think they have a lot of talent at the quarterback position this year. I think more talent than they had last fall, but of course they don't have that experience. They need to take massive strides on the defensive side of the football. I think Josh Heupel, one of the more underrated coaches in the SEC, and I get the fan frustration, but if we would have told Tennessee fans, Paul, that they're going to go 8-4 the day Nico walked out the door, I think every single one of them would have signed up for it, and now they're upset that that's what actually happened. So I think we need to have a little bit perspective. I think Tennessee will probably win 9 games this fall.
I tell you what, you are just full of optimism. Tennessee 9 games, but that would be to me a great season because I think Tennessee right now is kind of in between eras. Okay, we got a few minutes left, and you know where we're going next. The University of Alabama.
Yeah, led by my favorite Kalen DeBoering. I don't know how often you guys listen to his press conferences, but they're a great cure for insomnia. The guy says nothing, but he says a lot. So, I'm just confounded by the man myself, Paul. I think he's an excellent football coach, but he is lacking consistency. I think that even the biggest Alabama fan would say that. He'll turn around and he'll beat Georgia, and then he'll get destroyed by the likes of Vanderbilt and Indiana. So I just don't know what to make of them. I think this will probably be DeBoer's last season in Tuscaloosa. I do not think Alabama makes the college football playoff. And like I said, I think there's a outstanding chance that they lose the Iron Bowl at home to a first-year Auburn coach, which I don't think that's going to be excusable. I think that'll probably be the last game of the Kalen DeBoer era. But, hey, for your caller's sake, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Okay, here's the schedule. I'm assuming you can see the schedule here. Where do you see the potential losses?
I would say Georgia for sure, at Tennessee, A&M, LSU, and Auburn. 7-5.
I know you're not kidding because I feel like I know when you are kidding. And this sounds pretty deadly serious. 8-4, 7-5 for Kalen DeBoer. That would be a complete disaster.
And last time I checked, Paul, he can't beat Florida State either. I wouldn't trust Mike Norvell to manage a Burger King, but somehow he beat Kalen DeBoer last year. God forbid if he does it again. DeBoering may not last till the first month of the season. So surely we get that one. But I think they will beat Florida State. But I guaranteed they beat Florida State last year, and look how that turned out.
Mike, I hate to break this to you, but I'm on the phone with chief publicity officer for the Burger King company, and they are demanding a retraction on that. They do not want to be compared to Mike Norvell.
Hey, I don't blame him. Given his record and what he has done to that once proud Florida State program, I wouldn't want to be associated with him either.
That statement was a whopper, though. Hey, Mike, always great to see you. Michael Braden joining us on a Friday afternoon. We'll see you very soon. Michael, thank you for the time. We're up against the break. We'll update you on everything that is going on in basketball. Most of it's looking pretty good right now. We have the big Kentucky win. The other SEC teams are doing okay. We're going to talk a little about the SEC gymnastics meet. George Teague joining us, and plenty of time in the final hour for your phone calls.